WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Good morning. Happy Wednesday to you. Perhaps it's good afternoon. And if it is afternoon, I invite you to Island Community Church tonight. We're having services here tonight at 6 o'clock. Grab your Bible. Stop on by 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Island Community Church. Our study is going to be looking at Jesus in the temple in Nazareth. And it's a wonderful text. We're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, 6 o'clock. Love to see you if you're able to make it. If not, you can watch from the app, Island Community Church FL. We will be live on Facebook. That'll turn on live right at 6 o'clock. So we'd love to see you. Here today and tomorrow is a sermon I preached a little while ago. It's called The Two Witnesses. It's a look at these two mysterious men that are going to show up in Jerusalem and start preaching. Matter of fact, they're going to preach for 3.5 years. And the Bible says that these have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls during the days of their prophecy. Imagine that. It's hard enough now finding water when there's a problem or a hurricane or a shortage or whatever the case may be. Imagine 3.5 years with no water. That's going to be the scene here on earth when these men are prophesying and preaching here in Jerusalem. So that's where we're at. This will play today and Thursday as well. Here is part one of this message, The Two Witnesses. I record these actually to play on the radio and on the podcast or on the radio 91.5 at 6:30 in the morning and 5:30 in the afternoon here locally 94.3 as well, WWBC is radio station that I manage. For those that don't know, you can hear this program. This will actually play tomorrow and Tuesday, but that's why I've got my iPhone up here and why I'm recording. Okay. Was uncertain what I was going to preach next week, and I think we decided with the music this morning, as we're in this series here on eschatology, I think we need to look at the rapture next week. All the music's pointing that way. So that's what we'll do next week. Now we're engaged here in this eye-opening, wonderful study of end times, understanding eschatology, which means the study of end times, of end things. And I hope you've been understanding each week what the Bible has been revealing to us. It's been pretty eye-opening, hasn't it, everyone? Haven't we learned a lot? Let's recap a little bit. Number one, deception is the overriding theme of the events of the end of the age. Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Remember that above all, as we move on, at the end of the age, with everything that happens, it happens because for the most part, people are tricked into doing what they do. They're deceived. Like Eve was deceived. Like Judas was deceived. We read in Revelation 13 last week, he deceives those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. The him being the false prophet. That's what we looked at last week. Listen to this chilling description of this man's abilities. Revelation 13:13. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Now that sign is to prove whom he claims to be. The Apostle Paul called them lying wonders. Not so much signs and wonders. He called them lying wonders. And this, Revelation 13:15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast. King James says it was given to him to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. All right, so far, that's a look at two of God's end times players. Now, today, I want to look at two more players in this drama, the two witnesses. So if you would please turn with me, Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Now, this is the Apostle John speaking, the man who wrote the book of Revelation. Chapter 11, verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there." Measure those who worship. I guess that'd be a head count, right? But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Okay, so that would be under the authority of Gentiles. Now, that's a whole nother study or sermon in its own right there. But this text here is telling you that the tribulation period is going to be neatly divided in two, right down the middle at 3.5 years or 42 months. 42 months is half of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years will still have Gentiles like us going to and fro over Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul put it this way, Romans chapter 11, verse 25. He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. See, that fits right along line with the other verse. Jerusalem will be trampled, means it'll be inhabited by and controlled by Gentiles until this times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. I don't have it written down, but you also could go to, I believe it's Luke 21:25 for further study. And the time is coming where the last Gentile is going to believe, and Jerusalem will no longer be trampled underfoot by Gentiles. Now, right around that time, 3.5 years into this tribulation period, these two mysterious men are going to appear in Jerusalem. Verse 3, "I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." So again, that's 3.5 years. 360. Now, the Hebrew calendar has got 360 days. Maybe you say, "Well, what about the other five? It'd be all messed up." You know, I got this Bible, this open Bible, that tell me how they handled that. And that is, right at this time of year, they were supposed to go out to their fields and see if a certain fruit was ripe yet. And that's what told them as to whether or not to have a 13th month in the year, was whether or not, like today we could say, a modern vernacular would be, if the crocuses are up yet, go on out and look. And if your crocuses aren't up yet, due to our 5 days short every year, we're going to add a month to this year. And that would even things out, like on our calendar of 365 and a quarter days. So there's this 360. So 360, 360, 360, and 180 is 1,260 days. Again, 3.5 years, half of 7. He says, I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. So sackcloth, well, these guys aren't here for your benefit. They're here for the Jews. These last 3.5 years is the time of Jacob's trouble, we read in the Bible. As the Bible puts it, it's God dealing with the nation of Israel during this time. So what about you? Or what about your Uncle Harry? Maybe you'd say, answer, it's too late for Uncle Harry. And it's too late for you too during this time. Says who? Me? No, not at all. Says Jesus. This is what Jesus said. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. That's Luke 13, 24. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock, and say, Lord, open up for us. He will answer and say to you, I do not know you. I don't know you. I don't know any of you people. Once this happens, these guys are going to show up once this happens. Let me keep reading this. I do not know you, where you are from. So then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now that's on your handout there. Third one down, Luke 13, 24 through 28. You see, by this time, all hope is gone for you. You see, today is your chance to believe. This is talking about God dealing with Jews at the end of the age. Today is your day. This is your opportunity, your time to receive Jesus Christ is today. I'll preach it every week in this church. Today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. This is your chance and your opportunity to call on the name of the Lord, receive him as your Lord and Savior, have your sins obliterated by his blood, and have your name written in the book of life. As long as it's today. I was telling the guys Wednesday night in here, this diner I go and eat breakfast at, they got a sign up on the wall. It says, coffee is free tomorrow. It's never tomorrow. It's always today. And once it's tomorrow, oh boy, your name better be written in the book. There is no tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. It's today. And while your heart is beating and while you're still alive, you need to deal with the rock. Might stub your foot over him. But he says, woe to that person on whom this rock falls. It'll grind him to powder. Have you dealt with the rock yet in your life? There's a rock in the middle of your way, in the middle of your road. His name is Jesus. Have you dealt with the rock yet? He might hurt you, Captain. to get your attention? Depending on your degree of stubbornness, I'm right there with you. He put the hurt on me too because he loves me. I don't think we're going to go through this. Let me move on. The thing is, you don't want to be around to see this. Today is your chance. Let me move on here. Again, now verse 3. I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, a Jewish traditional clothes of mourning. Verse 4 tells us these guys have already lived, and they're supernatural, end times players. See, it says these are. These guys were alive then to those that he wrote this to. These guys were alive in Zechariah the prophet's time, 500 years B.C. All the players in the Bible are supernatural. It's not like your Uncle Joe or Aunt Betty. They don't come out of Schenectady or Rome. The Antichrist comes out of the bottomless pit. He's already lived. He's supernatural, like Elijah. Verse 4, these are, not these were, and not these will be. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. Look at what happens if you try to hurt one of these cats. Verse 5, if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. Reminds me of one of my favorite shows as a kid, The Munster, remember? Remember the steps open up and rah! Spot lives under the steps. Fire coming out of his nose. In real life, can you imagine that? That's what happens to anyone that tries to hurt these guys. You guys look at me like you're a deer struck in the... Haven't you heard this before? You see, this is where his power is. There's too many of you haven't heard this. I just told you. He's got the power to give life to the image of the beast. If I wasn't a raving madman in this church, sorry, no offense, but none of you would have not known or heard that. Then this guy can lean down and breathe into this thing life. How many of you knew Satan's got the power to give life at the end of the age? How many of you knew that? See, this is why Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you. And he will deceive those that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do. See, we expose them here in this church. This is tomorrow's newspaper. We've got the winner of every race, win, place, and show. I'd be a multi-trillionaire. Let's go down to Hialeah. You want to come with me? You know, if that happened, though, I'd open up the paper and my obituary would be in there, too. You know, here I am. Oh, boy, I'm going down the track. Paul W. Esposito, dead. But like Dwight L. Moody said and Billy Graham, when you see it says that my name dead, don't believe it because I'm not. If anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must, not he might be, not all, maybe he'll pick this way amongst lots of ways. He must be killed in this manner. So here comes old Vladimir Putin, you know. Oh, I'm going to take care of these guys. You're going to drop some 80-pound atom bomb on some, It ain't gonna happen. If anyone tries to harm these guys, fire is gonna come out of their nostrils and they're gonna make you the crispiest critter you've ever seen. Verse 6, I'm just telling you the truth. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls during the days of their prophecy. All right, the days of their prophecy is how long? 3.5 years. Since they have the power, I assume they're going to use that power. And not only can they command it not to rain for 3.5 years, look at what else they command. Starts with the word and. Right there in the same verse. It says, and they have the power over the waters to turn them to blood. And to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Wow. So the time is actually coming when it's not going to rain on earth for 3.5 years. Can you believe that? And the earth now is completely conditioned not to give glory to God when it happens. They're going to blame Donald Trump for it. Like they do everything. No rain for 3.5 years. Trump. No one's going to give glory to God for it. All right. If they don't blame Donald Trump, they will blame climate change for it. You don't want me to joke? You want me to be serious? Though a few billion people will blame Donald Trump, the other 5 billion people are going to blame climate change. Instead of getting on your knees and repenting and turning of your sin and giving glory to God. Because God is the one that's responsible for it. They have power to shut heaven. Shut heaven. You know, this is the first time I've ever seen heaven in the singular. It's always plural. That's funny. And they have power over the waters to turn them to blood and strike the earth with all plagues as often they desire or whenever they feel like it. Listen to what happened the last time this happened. You can turn with me if you want. Otherwise, I'll just read it. 2 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 6. 2 Kings. Might be a little obscure book to find. About halfway through the Old Testament. Chapter 6. Verse 24. Now, this was the last time we had gone years like this with no rain. This is what happened in the world the last time this had happened. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. Now, it happened after this that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all of his army, and he went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and a fourth of a cab of dove droppings, to put nicely, for 5 shekels of silver. Can you imagine eating that? Verse 26. Then as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him saying, Lord, help! And he said, if the Lord does not help you, where am I going to find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press? Then the king said to her, what is troubling you? And she answered, now get this. This woman over here said to me, give your son so that we could eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, give us your son so that we can eat him. And she has hidden her son. So Jennifer and Cameron, don't try this at home. Can you imagine that? You see, in perilous times, people will do. But that's the condition of the world. This is why I like to jokingly call the Antichrist the Zephyr Hills man. For those of you from Florida, know what Zephyr Hills is. If you're from somewhere else, you might not know. It's the bottled water. Because right about this time, can't you just see the Antichrist riding into town in a refrigerated truck loaded down with cold bottles of Zephyr Hills water? Can you see it? With the little beads of water on the outside, dripping down. 41 degree Zephyr Hills, ice cold water. And the Antichrist will tell you, you can have all the water you want. All you have to do is show me your COVID vaccination form. That's all you got to do. Show me your COVID vaccination form. You see, if this was happening today, that's what it would be. The government telling you, you can't buy or sell unless you have some kind of identifying brand. If this was happening today, this is what it would be. Make no mistake about it, this is what it would be. A COVID vaccination. All the water's yours. That's all you gotta do. Show me yours.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
One of the wisest things I've ever read was written by a philosopher who said this, to whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. If you've not learned in whatsoever state you are to be content, you will never be content. Give us this day our daily bread, having therewith food and clothing. The Bible says, let us be content. Now, I know what I want, and I know what you want. I want to have enough that I don't have to depend on God. I want to have some money in the bank, you know, and I want to have something there so that when tomorrow comes, then I don't have to worry about it. Isn't that what we want? We call that security. Question, is that really security? Who is more secure? The man who has a warehouse full of stale bread